Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Friday, is that you? Friday, is that you? It is, baby. A Friday edition of the Burgundy and Gold today right here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the always free Odyssey app. It is the youngest in charge, Noah Willingham, alongside super producer Anthony Haney, taking you up to 7 o'clock and getting you warmed up for Cowboys and Commanders coming up on Sunday. NFC East tilt, I believe, and let me not say this before confirming it, I believe it is America's Game of the Week. We will be in prime time. It will be a big-time showdown. If you listened to the show yesterday, I told you. I don't care, and I love all these dudes I'm about to name drop here. I don't care what Kevin Sheehan says. I don't care what the Junks say. I don't care what Chris Russell says. This is a must-win game coming up on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. Argue with somebody you love, not me. Wow. Injury report time. We're getting to it right off the rip here. Let's just get right to it. That was a terrible transition. I thought we'd be better than that, but I'm a rookie still, clearly. Before we get to this injury report, I do want to keep things P, so to speak. We will get into this Washington Commanders wide receiver room coming up here in the first hour of the program. We'll get you some keys to victory. We'll also go behind enemy lines coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Our pal Marcus Mosher, who covers the Cowboys for the Locked On Locked On Cowboys Network, he's going to join the program coming up in the 5 o'clock hour to tell us what it is and what it ain't about the Dallas Cowboys. We'll give you our Monday morning headline before we get out of here as well. And then, of course, top of the 6 o'clock hour, make sure you are near your radio, near your phone, however you're consuming the product here this afternoon, because it's time for another installment of the Super Six Pack. The top six players, myself and Ant, are putting under the microscope as we get geared up for Sunday's big-time game against the Cowboys. I do have an injury report for you. You found this out earlier this afternoon. Terry McLaurin officially ruled out with his quad hip flexor sports hernia injury. DNP for the third consecutive day. Dorrance Armstrong. He is officially listed as questionable. Sam Cosmi for the third consecutive day listed as questionable. All signs point towards Sam Cosmi making his season debut coming up Sunday in Dallas. Zach Ertz was limited today with what they're calling a shoulder and now a calf injury. So it was listed as a shoulder injury earlier this week. They're now adding a calf to his injury designation as well. Jonathan Jones, a full practice participant for the third consecutive day. He's listed as questionable. And then Deebo Samuel, after being a DNP Wednesday and Thursday, listed as limited for today's practice. No game designation for Chris Rodriguez. He's going to be a full go. Jaden Daniels. And then Ali Cajo coming back to the lineup this weekend. Interesting to see if he gets any defensive snaps coming up on Sunday. But obviously, we want to start with Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin going to miss his fourth consecutive game coming up on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. And Washington has been without him since that Vegas Raiders game. And look, we've kind of been on this thing from the get-go. It's why we brought on the sports doctor. It's why we tried to get you all insider information on this, because we are Patriots East now. We're not going to know much based off of what the team is providing us. But I have long said, since I found out that he was visiting the sports hernia man, I knew it was going to be something. When you go visit the sports hernia guy and then you don't get sports hernia surgery, I expected this to be something that lingered for a while. And here's the thing. We're not seeing him this week for the fourth consecutive week. I don't know if he has a much better shot of giving it a go against Kansas City next week. I'm not putting him on IR. If you put him on IR, let's play that hypothetical Harry game. If you put him on IR, he would miss Kansas City, Seattle, Detroit, Miami, and then back after the bye against the Denver Broncos, ready to go, hopefully, for the stretch run of your season. Should they do that? No. Will they do that? Probably not. The big question is, why didn't they put him on IR earlier? And the head coach of your Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, spoke about this before practice.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like, the easy question was, like, why not IR? Like, well, two ways. Like, you don't want to go there if he's earlier, and then, like, all of a sudden you're like, after, you know, two or three, you're like, man, that's there. So it's like that fine balance when you're right in the space. And so I think that's what, you know, they're not just as easy as, hey, this is no matter what, 2 weeks or 4 weeks or that. When it's really a longer one, that makes those decisions easier. But for a player with his speed, that's the part. And he hadn't been injured a lot, thank goodness. And so, you know, learning how to go where it is, what it feels like. But for a speed, like, it's just different. You know, it's not playing guard or defensive tackle where those are things that you can work yourself through. But, man, at receiver and corner and spots like that, that's a lot harder. And I'm glad to see the routes and the speed, but we also want him as long as we can too, D.A. So as frustrating as it's for him, we're just not there yet. But we're pushing, and you know, I'm hopeful that it's sooner than later.
Yeah, that was not good. That was not good. I said this a while ago when the injury news first came out that I thought he would be out for a little while here. I think he's dealing with a sports hernia, and they're choosing, or they chose to avoid surgery. I say you should have put him on IR. One, because you needed the roster spot. He's just eating up a roster spot at this point. And then two, I know I just said it a moment ago, I probably would be against putting him on IR now. But, like, my thing is this. We said this when we first found out. I didn't want this to be something that lingered for the entirety of the season. So now I'm starting to speculate, well, why didn't you just get the surgery? Like, it's all frustrating to me. Bottom line is, he will not be out there on Sunday against Dallas, and I don't know when we're going to see Terry McLaurin. He hasn't even practiced in a limited capacity yet to this point. He has just been a straight DNP. And I know, what was it, on Tuesday, they listed him as limited, or Wednesday, rather, they listed him as limited. Doesn't matter. It was a jog through. He was limited in a jog through, meaning he's a little ways away from returning. I don't know what they're going to do at wide receiver. I honestly don't. We'll talk about the wide receiver room as a whole as we roll throughout this opening hour of the show, but it's not good for Washington, man. It totally limits their ability to create explosive plays through the pass game. And I know we've seen the Jalen Lane deep shot last week. I know we saw Luke McCaffrey the week before, but those plays are few and far between. It's not happening enough. They're being forced to play mistake-free football pretty much offensively because they're missing their chunk play guy. And with Debo now being a limited participant in practice today and his status for Sunday very much in doubt as well, you go into Sunday without Terry or Debo, holy cow. You know, you have to really begin to think, damn, are we going to be able to muster offense? Are we going to be able to throw the football? That's the question mark that I'm going to have. But the big key for Sunday, and we'll get you our official keys to victory in the 5 o'clock hour, but to me, the number one most important guy, most important piece going into Sunday is the quarterback. It is on Jayden Daniels Sunday. Jayden Daniels must have an A-plus performance in order for this group to have a chance to win in on Sunday versus Dallas. Straight up. He can't have a performance like we saw on Monday night against Chicago, and we expect this team to win. They won't have a shot. I'll even take it a step further. He can't play the way that he played in the season opener against the Giants, or they will lose. They need Jayden Daniels at his A-plus level. He needs to bring his A game Sunday in Dallas for this team to have a chance. What do I mean by that? I'm talking about limiting negative plays offensively. If you can help it, don't take the sack. Take the check down. Take what's there. Continue to keep this offense ahead of the chains. Obviously, not turning the football over is a prerequisite and guaranteed. Like, you know you can't do that and win. But we've seen, and I'm going back to this Giants game now when I'm referencing this, you know, some issues with accuracy. He's got to be spot on. He has to be the best version of himself on Sunday in order for Washington to have a chance to win. Because if he replicates last game's performance against Chicago, they're not going to have a shot. And I'm not just talking about the turnovers. I'm talking about the intentional grounding, the sacks that he took, not getting the ball out of his hand and throwing it to the flat. Like, he's got to be the best version of himself. He needs an A-plus performance for this team to have a chance to win on Sunday in Dallas against the Cowboys, a game that I'm calling a must-win. 301-230-0980 is the number here on this Friday edition of the Burgundy and Gold Today. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge, Noah Willingham, alongside Anthony Haney. We'll take you up the 7 o'clock. In the 5 o'clock hour, we will go behind enemy lines. Our pal Marcus Mosher, host of the Locked On Cowboys podcast, he's going to join us and give us the latest on what's going on with the Cowboys 6 weeks into the season. When we come back, though, we found out moments ago, or earlier this afternoon, rather, that Terry McLaurin officially going to be listed as out for Sunday's game against the Cowboys, meaning he'll miss his fourth consecutive game. I think it's an appropriate time to take a look at this Washington Commanders wide receiver room. On the other side of the break, I'll tell you why the receiver room, best put, is a mess. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
301-230-0980 is the number. They're on the Burgundy and Gold today. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham alongside the man playing the funky tunes coming back from break. Super producer Anthony Haney. We'll take you up the 7 o'clock. In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll go behind enemy lines. Marcus Mosher of the Locked On Cowboys podcast going to join us. But if you're just now joining the program, if you're just picking your kids up from school, if you're getting ready for some Friday Night Lights, good luck to you and yours. I hope everyone's able to stay healthy. But we do have news here as the Commanders are getting geared up for Sunday's big contest in Dallas against the Cowboys, a game I am calling, I don't care about it either, a must win. Washington's got to come away from Big D with a record of 4-3. If they don't, I know what I said yesterday. You fall under 500 in the month of October, it begins to get late very early. Washington going to be without Terry McLaurin for the fourth consecutive game coming up on Sunday. They also may be without Deebo Samuel, who is officially listed as questionable right now with his heel injury. He did not practice on Wednesday. He did not practice on Thursday. Practiced in a limited capacity today, and based off the tweets and reports of folks who were out there in Ashburn this afternoon, didn't do much, worked mostly on the side field with a trainer. There's a video out there right now circulating of him doing a straight line sprint. Didn't look bad, but I do have some serious doubts and reservations about his ability to give it a go on Sunday against Dallas. And when you think about the attrition that Washington is dealing with right now at the wide receiver position, Noah Brown placed on injured reserve earlier this week. Terry McLaurin in line to miss his fourth consecutive contest. Deebo Samuel has been nicked up over the past several weeks. I know, let's just put it this way, right? Those three guys were expected to be Washington's top three wide receivers. I get it, right? Like, no team in the NFL really should be able to withstand their top three wide receivers going down. It's going to be a tough pill to swallow, a tall task for any offense in the National Football League. My problem, I guess, is this. In hindsight, it's 2020, right? Totally get it. For Washington to be as dependent on Noah and Deebo as they have been, I think, is organizational malpractice. These are two dudes that have not been able to stay healthy throughout the course of their career. And when you know that, when you're building out your wide receiver core, I think it would be the smart decision to really place emphasis on your depth at wide receiver. Really have some guys that you trust, not only in the slot, but on the outside as well. Right? Noah Brown brought here to be an outside receiver. Deebo Samuel primarily brought here to be a slot wide receiver. As we get geared up for Sunday against Dallas, when you think about the potential of this offense going into the game without Terry, without Noah, and without Deebo potentially, I said it earlier this week. I said it in camp. This passing offense, minus Terry McLaurin, is a totally different unit. You do not have a respected deep threat throughout the course of the National Football League. You just don't. I don't know why. I was about to bust out laughing at you, bro. But it real. You know what I'm saying? It's real, though. Man. Like, they don't have a legitimate deep threat. And I know, like I said, Jalen Lane's come up with a big play deep. Luke McCaffrey's come up with a big play deep. They're not guys that are going to dictate coverage, though, on the perimeter. And I guess my thing is this moving forward. Because I know we've made some moves, right? They brought Treylon Burks on to the practice squad. They brought Chosen Anderson onto the practice squad. How about this? Instead of replacing these guys with Treylon Burks and Chosen Anderson, can I just get more of Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane? That is what I want to see. Those two guys have, one, earned this opportunity by staying healthy, being a pro's pro, not getting in trouble, knowing their responsibility and what they're asked to do in this offense. I think this group right now at wide receiver, I mean, it's terrible. Even the guys on the practice squad. You have guys on your practice squad that you're not confident in calling up. Why did you keep Jacoby Jones on your practice squad if when you got into a sticky situation, you weren't comfortable calling him up? Why is Ja'Cory Brooks on the practice squad if when you get into an unchy situation, you're going to be scared to bring him up? That's my thing. Take your practice squad seriously because injuries are real in the National Football League. So for them to have guys on this practice squad that they aren't particularly comfortable with, I think it's stupid. Honestly. And we talked about the snap count at wide receiver yesterday. Chris Moore on Sunday played 44% of the offensive snaps. Jalen Lane played 27%. Luke McCaffrey played 24%. Why did we draft these guys to have them be out-snapped by Chris freaking Moore? I don't care how long he's been in the league as a veteran. You drafted these two guys. They're yours. They're homegrown guys. You're telling me you would rather see Chris Moore, who's washed. You'd rather see Chosen Anderson, who's washed. Treylon Burks, who hasn't been able to get right. You'd rather see those guys than a Ja'Cory Brooks, than a Luke McCaffrey, than a Jalen Lane, dudes that you handpicked? This doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, man. It just doesn't. And here's the frustrating part. I feel like the blame's got to be directed at one guy. Who put together this roster? It's one Adam Peters, that handsome blue-eyed devil. He put this roster together. And in hindsight, knowing the injury situation, right? He didn't put it together very well. Specifically at the wide receiver spot. The outside wide receiver in particular, to me, though, was not prioritized at all by this front office. Jalen Lane, who you drafted as more of a slot. Luke McCaffrey, y'all keep telling me. Ant keep telling me. Well, hell, he's not an outside guy. He's a slot. Okay. Where are the outside wide receivers on this roster? Chris Moore? Come on. Michael Gallup? That's who you brought in to be your outside wide receiver to give you depth? KJ Osborne? Come on, man. They just did not do a good enough job to me putting together this wide receiver room from multiple different standpoints. One, outside of Terry McLaurin, outside of Jalen Lane, and I'll throw Debo in there as well. Where's the speed? Where's the speed? Where's the ability to win quick? We don't have it. This wide receiver core, even at full strength, is a B-plus unit. That's pretty damn good relative to the grade I give you now. You're like a D-plus unit right now. Your practice squad, I think that's my biggest frustration with all of this. We're signing guys to the practice squad that we have no confidence in. So why'd you put them on there? You could have been had Treylon Burks. You could have been had Chosen Anderson. But you were trying to give your young guys a chance, right? No. No, no, no. Win games. Make the best moves to win the most games. Point blank. Now, Ant, you brought this up when we were hashing through this conversation, and I think I agree with you. There is just one person to blame for the wide receiver room looking the way that it does.
Yeah, I mean, I think you were just, you know, getting at it when you were talking about some of the moves that Adam Peters made. And don't get me wrong, I think when you look at his rap sheet and the decisions he's made, the moves he's made, I think he's made a ton of great decisions.
For sure.
Since being the general manager of the Commanders. But when you look at the wide receiver room, like, he is part to blame just because you take a chance on a guy in Noah Brown who is a high-risk injury concern. Like, you let OZ walk, you let Diami walk in free agency, and you didn't go out and get any replacements. And then the veteran receiver that you bring in aren't really that good. Like, Chris Moore, he's inconsistent. Gallup, you know, he retired, tried to make a return, didn't really do much in the preseason. And then KJ Osborne, like, you know, he didn't do much either. So I just think when you look at what he did at the receiver position, granted, you do bring in Debo, but he also has a injury history. Terry necessarily, I think they were just more so banking on Terry McLaurin, you know, remaining healthy and being the guy that we've seen the first 7-8 years of his career. But when you get in contract disputes and, you know, he sits out and, you know.
What's your contingency plan?
Yeah, and he doesn't have that training camp period to, you know, ramp up. I think that's what happens. And people may say there's no cause and, you know, correlation between the two. But if you look at Terry's career, he's been at OTAs. He's been at mini camp. He's been at training camp, and he's never had to endure any of these injuries. So I think it does have to do with him missing that time.
I mean, you're saying the quiet part out loud. Anybody that thinks there's no correlation to him missing the offseason program and then having this injury, you a damn fool. You a damn fool. Come holler at me for four to five minutes. I probably could talk $1,000 out of you. There's just no way. Are we really still doing that? Are people still out there really trying to play that game? Because that's stupid.
I mean, they probably trying to, you know, look at the age. You know, that is a factor in the whole situation. But I think when you go about training your body correctly, when you take the necessary, you know, tasks to do in the offseason, I think you don't have to worry about these kinds of things.
Yeah. I want you all to begin to line up on the phones, though, at 301-230-0980. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. We know Terry McLaurin is out on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. Debo Samuel is running mate at wide receiver. His status also very much in question for Sunday's game against Dallas. Line up on the phones to answer this question. Debo's on the injury report, was limited, officially listed as questionable. Dorrance Armstrong has been a DNP for all 3 days. Who would be the bigger loss Sunday for the Washington Commanders? Dorrance Armstrong or Debo Samuel? We'll chew on that next. This is the Team 980.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
301-230-0980 is the number. Here on this Friday edition of the Burgundy and Gold Today, you're tapped in to the youngest in charge of Noah Willingham alongside Anthony Haney. We'll take you up to 7 o'clock. Top of the 6 o'clock hour, as we do the day before every game, we'll bring you our Super 6-pack, the top 6 Commanders that we're putting under the microscope who must play well in order to win big in Big D coming up Sunday against the Cowboys. I want you to line up on the phones, though, man. 301-230-0980 is the number. We found out earlier this afternoon, no Terry McLaurin for the fourth consecutive week as he continues to work his way back from that quad, hip flexor, sports hernia situation that he is dealing with. And look, I said it when he first went on the shelf. Washington's pass offense would look like a shell of itself, minus Terry McLaurin. And I think the numbers for this passing offense throughout the first 6 weeks of the season kind of tell that story. Washington's, what, ranked 23rd in the NFL in terms of pass yards per game? Their explosive pass play percentage near the bottom of the National Football League. And it makes life harder for your offense when you do not have that big play gadget. And I think that's the area where Washington misses Terry McLaurin the most. The question is going to be, how do they rebound from this? How do they continue to survive life without Terry McLaurin? Well, they made the move earlier to bring in Treylon Burks. They brought in Chosen Anderson about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. But to me, man, it's just frustrating. I want more Luke McCaffrey. I want more of Jalen Lane. Both of those two dudes, I feel like, have damn sure earned more opportunity in this offense. And with Terry out, Debo being on the shelf, you wonder, well, which of those two guys are going to get that opportunity? Or should both of those guys get this opportunity? But I mentioned Debo Samuel. He is another Commanders wide receiver that is definitely in doubt in terms of his availability coming up on Sunday. He's officially listed as questionable with a heel injury. He was a DNP on Wednesday. He was a DNP on Thursday, and he practiced today in a limited capacity. But those that were out there in Ashburn saw it. There's video out there, really just working with a trainer on the side field. He is officially listed as questionable. I really have no clue as to whether or not we're going to see Debo Samuel. Another key Commander on the defensive side of the football that is listed as questionable is the best pass rusher that the Washington Commanders have, Dorrance Armstrong. Leads the team in sacks, leads the team in pressures, and really is a guy that has been the most consistent piece of this Commanders pass rush all season long. And when you think about the way this defense has struggled with Dorrance Armstrong, could you imagine what they look like without Dorrance Armstrong? And it got me thinking this. Who would be the bigger loss on Sunday? Whose loss would be more gut-wrenching on Sunday against the Cowboys? Would it be playing without Dorrance Armstrong, or would it be playing without Debo Samuel? 301-230-0980 is the number. I got some tweets on this exact topic as well. I got Tony Murray tweets at me and says, Debo would be a much bigger loss on Sunday. Our offense looked bad last week with him limited and being a decoy. Defense can plug and play and have more capable, healthy bodies at the moment. I get where you're coming from, Tony. My clear-cut answer for this would be Dorrance Armstrong. You do not have another trustworthy edge rusher. Don't give me Jacob Martin. He's a nice rotational piece. Don't give me Von Miller. He's old and washed. You take Dorrance Armstrong away from this pass rush. Who gets after the quarterback? Does that mean more Jordan McGee at linebacker and you're playing Frankie Louvelle at edge full time? What would be the solution to that? Because I tell you what, I would literally rather have someone stab me in the eyeballs, I guess, than watch Von Miller opposite Jacob Martin on this defense at end. That would be critical. It'd be a dire situation. Debo, look, Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey are capable. I don't care what anybody says. You drafted them guys, you gotta let them play. If he can't go, I feel better about the depth at wideout than I do at defensive end. And that's saying something, because I just spent 10, 15 minutes talking about how this wide receiver depth ain't worth a damn. So the fact that I'm more confident in the wide receiver depth over the defensive end depth, that's saying something. 301-230-0980 is the number. And before we get to the calls, I'm going to let you chime in. Who would be the bigger loss on Sunday against Dallas? No Dorrance or no Debo?
I would say Debo, and part of the reason I say Debo is because I think Sunday is going to be a shootout. All the sports books are talking about this being a shootout. We're going against the number one offense, in the NFL. We know our best defense probably on Sunday is going to be our offense. Also, the fact that both of these teams rank in the top five of total scrimmage yards in games, Dallas being number one at 799. That is
scrimmage yards is key,
799 scrimmage yards,
bro.
It's insane.
Punt return, yeah.
So this is going to be a shootout. So I think having Deebo out there is going to be very important, especially when it comes to, you know, diversifying our offensive attack.
You've heard from us. We want to hear from you. 301-230-0980. Scott in Silver Spring going to kick us off. What's going on, Scott? Happy Friday, brother.
Hey, how y'all doing, man?
Good, man.
First of all, love y'all talking. Love hearing your point of view. And I think Deebo will be a bigger loss just for the fact of what Ant was saying. You know, our best defense Sunday is going to be our offense on the field, keeping them off the field, their offense. But I just think, yeah, the wide receiver position wasn't handled the best it could have been in the off season. But, you know, I think we got spoiled last year. We got a little ahead. I mean, we're acting like, you know, we've been good for a long time, and that's not the case, man. That man flipped 30-some players last year. And I don't know how many this year. We were trash, man.
Yeah.
And we went to the NFC Championship game last year. I mean, granted, he hasn't made all the best moves, but, I mean, come on, man. I remember 3-3, man, would have been like having an 80-degree day in January. We'd have been cooking out and doing all kinds of stuff at 3-3. But I think we'll be all right. I think –
Scott, let me ask you this, Scott. Let me ask you this, Scott, because you and Ant both went with Deebo. Who the hell going to rush the passer, brother?
We're going to blitz. I
hear you. I hear it.
And what did we do to Justin Herbert? We blitzed.
Yeah, for damn sure.
It wasn't people beating one-on-one matchups.
Right.
I mean, we blitzed, and people got home. And that's what we're going to have to do. And I think Dan Quinn and Joe know Dak's weaknesses.
Yeah.
They know what to expect. Mm. I mean,
it's a good point you just made, Scott.
It's always when we expect the least from us that we shine.
Mm. I'm going to let you go on that because I think you were cooking. Can't let you cook too much, brother. Appreciate you as always. What he said there at the end, I think, is a really good point. If there's anybody that knows the weaknesses of Dakota Rain Prescott, the quarterback to me that's playing the best in the NFL right now, it would be Joe Witt Jr. It would be Dan Quinn. How will it help them on Sunday against the Cowboys? A must-win game. The injury bug starting to pile up for the Washington Commanders. Deebo Samuel officially listed as questionable. He was limited today in practice. Norris Armstrong officially listed as questionable. He was a DNP for the third consecutive practice. Who would be the bigger loss on Sunday against Dallas? No Norris Armstrong or no Deebo Samuel? Your calls on that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Southwest! 301-230-0980 is the number right here on a Friday edition of the Burgundy and Gold. Today you're tapped in to the youngest in charge in O'Willingham alongside Anthony Haney. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we will go behind enemy lines to continue to get you warmed up for Cowboys and Commanders. Coming up Sunday from Big D, Marcus Mosher of the Locked On Cowboys podcast going to join the program. And then to wrap up the 5 o'clock hour, you all know how we do it. Monday morning headline. What will the papers read on Monday morning after the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Commanders duke it out on Sunday in a game that I'm calling a must-win for the Burgundy and Gold? The injury situation makes this a much taller task than it should have been. Terry McLaurin officially ruled out for his fourth consecutive game. Noah Brown placed on injured reserve earlier this week. And then the injury situation from today, the most up-to-date injury report for Washington, is not very good either. Dorrance Armstrong, a DNP, did not practice for the third consecutive day as he deals with a hamstring. And then Deebo Samuel, officially listed as limited today with the heel injury. He spoke earlier, and when he was asked about whether or not he would give it a go, he would say, we'll have to see on Sunday. I think he's just super snarky, and that's just how he's going to answer injury questions from here on out. And I get it. He's been called fat and talked about. I get it. Both of those two guys missing Sunday would be massive for this Washington Commanders offense and this Washington Commanders defense. What we're asking you on the phones is this: who would be the bigger loss? Pick one. Who would be the bigger loss Sunday? Dorrance Armstrong or Deebo Samuel? 301-230-0980 is the number. Let's start with our guy Aries Tony wanting to chime in. What's going on, brother, man? Happy Friday to you.
Hey, happy Friday to you, Lanelle.
Yes, sir.
I think Deebo would be the biggest loss, especially after watching last night Cincinnati receivers. Man, golly, T. Higgins and my man Chase, man. God, can you imagine if Jaden had them too? And with that tight end, man, we'd be cooking. But I wish we did kick the tires with T. Higgins, because remember, he was a free agent.
Yep.
That was somebody that we didn't want to touch. But can you imagine, this be an afterthought if we signed him.
Yeah.
Because even though Trey's not here, we still had him, and anybody else that compliments him would be better than what we got now.
Yeah,
so
I can agree with that.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, and what about Pittsburgh? They got a 6'8 receiver.
Talking about Darnell Washington. The big extra is what I call him.
Big extra, man. I mean, can you imagine somebody that size in the red zone?
He's a problem.
I mean, you just lob it up and boom.
Hey, look, Aries Tony, and I appreciate the call. If I was Darnell Washington, I'm making a transition to tackle. I want to be paid like a tackle. Damn, give me that tight end money. Darnell Washington's a problem, bro. Like, he really, no facade. Like, he's really nasty, bro. Like, I would love to have a guy like that here in Washington. But the question is this: who would be the bigger loss on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys? Dorrance Armstrong, a DNP today for the third consecutive day, officially listed as questionable. And then Deebo Samuel listed as questionable with his heel injury. He was limited after not practicing in the first 2 days of the week. And I'll say this about the limited designation that he got today. He didn't do much. Didn't do much at all. There's video of him sprinting on the side field with the trainer. Just doesn't look like a guy that's got a lot of juice. He didn't look like he had a lot of juice on Monday night against Chicago either. So maybe sitting Deebo down for a week and giving him a chance to get back close to 90-95% may be the best thing to do. But who would be the bigger loss on Sunday, Dorrance Armstrong or Deebo Samuel? Manny wants to chime in. What's going on, Manny? Manny!
Yo, what's up, fellas?
What's going on, brother?
I love y'all show.
Appreciate you, man.
I love y'all show, man. Hey, I would have to go with Dorrance Armstrong. The reason why I say, man, we have zero pass rush.
Yeah.
Everybody tosses on us. We got that candy-ass cover two defense. I would throw up every time I see everybody lining up 10 yards off the ball. Somebody's wide open every time. It's driving me nuts. I want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
This is a direct result of not re-signing the kids who killed us last week, by the way.
Honestly.
We depended on Noah Brown, who we know he's nowhere to be seen but on the injury table getting worked out.
Yeah.
That's the most we've had of him. It's like, it's driving me nuts, man. I wish we would have signed Big Play Slate. You know what I'm saying? He was a free agent. You know, we needed another corner. You know, now we're just looking crazy, man. I honestly hate to be negative Nancy, but...
Hey, look, Manny. It ain't being negative Nancy. I think you're being real.
It's just what it is, man. It's just not a good look right now, man. We don't have no pass rush. Where is Von Miller? Where is number 24? Was he playing corner or what? I don't... Where is this guy at?
Well, I know you can catch him. I know you can catch him every Tuesday at about 8 a.m. with the Sports Junkies if you're looking for him. So that's... It's not the only place you'll find
Miller, man.
I appreciate the call as always, Manny. Enjoy the weekend, brother. 301-230-0980. And we were looking at the numbers for the show with Vaughn, and he's second on the team in sacks with 3.5. But he's just been super non-impactful. He's liability against the run, doesn't tackle. All I can think about when I think of Vaughn Miller this year is that missed tackle on Bijan Robinson against Atlanta. That's the first thing that I think about when it comes to Vaughn Miller. I'll never forget, man, I was wrapping up a late night edition of Overtime during camp when Von Miller announced that he was signing with Washington, and I was geeked up. I said, we got Von, we got Marshawn, we got Bobby. Von Miller has not been worth a damn. Need something from Von Miller on Sunday. Especially even if Dorrance does play. Like, when does Von Miller, and I will say this, because we were looking at the snap counts too. He's not playing a whole lot.
That's what I was about to say. Like, he was brought in to play situational football, coming on third down. The fact he has 3.5 sacks, he's second on the team, I think that's solid. But granted, I think we want more.
We need more.
We need more because of the injury. So
yeah.
I feel like even when you look at Xavien Howard and, you know, when he was brought in for Indianapolis, he wasn't brought in to be a full-time, like, starter, like, week in, week out. Like, he was brought in to, you know, play situational football. So, I think asking Von to do more might be a tall task. But
are you saying that Von Miller's about to quit on us and retire?
Well, I'm not saying.
I
don't think he's
going to
go that extreme. But I'm just saying, like.
Okay. I'm just checking.
He was brought in to do a job.
And he's doing it.
Exactly.
Kinda. 301-230-0980 is the number. Who would be the bigger loss Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys? Dorrance Armstrong, who has not practiced all week with a hamstring. He is officially listed as questionable. Or Deebo Samuel, who was a limited participant in today's practice after not going at all on Wednesday and Thursday. He's questionable as well with the heel injury. Brian wants to chime in. What's going on, B?
What's up, fellas? How's it going?
It's going well, man. And look, I'll tell you this. I stand at about 6'1", 275 pounds. They may call me to line up, brother. We got to do something to deal.
Hey, listen, you better answer that call, 980 BD, when you get back.
Come on, man. I'm telling you. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you this, Brian. You ain't got to tell me twice, Slim. They would never see me again.
My man. So, listen, I'll chime in. I'll say Deebo, and I'll take just a different slant. I'm looking at the bigger picture, and I think without Deebo, I think, man, JD tried to become – superhero, which we kind of need him to be, but he tries to intentionally become it, and he may put himself in harm's way. I also think that it changes Dallas's game plan. It would change mine. I think we would see more 6- and 7-man rushes than we've seen, and while our offensive line has been okay, they haven't shown me that much to be confident. I think the D coordinator says, you know what, we're going to take McCaffrey, we're going to take I'm struggling to think of his name.
Chris Moore, Lane.
We're going to check them one-on-one, and we're sending 7. Let's go get them. And I think that just puts Jaden in harm's way, and I don't think any of us wants to see that. And last point, just because, and I'm an Armstrong guy. I'm glad we have him. But just because you're our best at a particular position, it doesn't mean that you're – impact is the best on the team. So in comparison, I think what Deebo at his best does more for our offense than what Armstrong at his best does for our defense. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I appreciate you as always, man. 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, continue to line up on the phones, man. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. On the other side, our keys to victory. What must Washington do on Sunday to make sure they don't have their first losing streak of the season? That is next here on the Team 980.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
3 minutes past 5 o'clock here in our nation's capital. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge of Overlookham alongside Anthony Haney. Taking you up to 7 o'clock here on this Friday edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. A lot more to get to as we ease our way into this 5 o'clock hour. In about 30 minutes, about Marcus Mosher, host of the Locked On Cowboys podcast. He's going to join the program as we go behind enemy lines to figure out what it is and what it ain't with the Dallas Cowboys. The Commanders with a big showdown against Dallas coming up Sunday from Jerry's World, 4:25 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff. And one guy that Washington will certainly be without, as we found out earlier this afternoon, is Terry McLaurin. Going to miss his fourth straight game with the lingering soft tissue injury that is kept him out ever since that Vegas Raiders game. He's going to miss his fourth straight game coming up on Sunday. The receiving core, the rest of his running mates in that receiving core, rather, a little nicked up as well. Debo Samuel officially listed as questionable with a heel injury. He was a limited participant in today's practice session, despite not practicing at all over the last 2 days. So we'll see who Washington has on Sunday. The question that we were asking you all on the phones was who would be the bigger loss on Sunday, Dorrance Armstrong or Debo Samuel? I think it's Dorrance Armstrong. Ant went with Debo Samuel. You can get lined up on the phones for this as well, 301-230-0980. Keys to victory. What does Washington have to do Sunday in order to pick up the dub? I always want to get you smarter when we give you these keys to victory. My first key to victory is very simple. For the offense, touchdowns over field goals. And for the defense, field goals over touchdowns. The Washington Commanders are tied for 12th in the National Football League in terms of red zone touchdowns. Meaning, when they get into the red zone area, more times than not, they are finishing the drive with a touchdown. Now, that did not happen on Monday night against the Bears. And if that happens again Sunday in Dallas, you're not going to have much of a shot. You're not going to have much of a shot. This Washington offense as a whole, I heard Kevin Sheehan say it earlier. I think he hit it spot on. He said the offense needs to be the Commanders' defense. I totally agree. They've got to play damn near flawlessly on the offensive side of the football for them to be able to win this football game. Point blank. From the quarterback to the offensive line, to the receivers, hell, even down to Cliff Kingsbury in terms of, you know, situational play calling. Like, everyone's got to be on point. You can't lose the turnover battle. You can't kill drives with sloppy mistakes and sloppy penalties. You've got to be on your P's and Q's, dotting your I's, crossing your T's, if you're going to win this game Sunday. Now, we'll get you an official prediction in the 6 o'clock hour, but I have total confidence that this offense will bounce back. I know Jayden Daniels. If I know him the way I think I do, Five is chomping at the bit to get back out on the field. Because I'm going to call it a spade a spade. He wasn't very good on Monday night, man. See, I'm going to do what others won't do. I'm holding him accountable for the fumble. I'm holding him accountable for the interception. It can't happen. When you are as reliant on him as you are, he's got to be flawless damn near to give you a chance week in and week out. And I know how the defense played. But, man, Jayden Daniels has to be better, has to be perfect to me on Sunday to have a shot. My defensive key for this, field goals over touchdowns. The Commanders rank 11th in the NFL in terms of forcing field goal attempts in the red zone. So you can give up all the yards in between the 20s that you want to. I think if you're able to hold Dallas to field goals in the red zone, you'll be pretty damn good. And on the year, this is a byproduct of your defense being old and slow. They've actually been pretty damn good in that high red zone area because there's less ground to cover. There are more. The windows get tighter from a throwing standpoint. And guys just don't have to move as much. You don't have to cover as much ground. That helps out this group. It certainly does. But to me, that's my first key to victory. Touchdowns over field goals for the offense, as the Commanders are tied for 12th in red zone touchdowns. And then field goals over touchdowns for this defense. The Commanders rank 11th in terms of forcing field goal attempts. I want to touch on the offense here a little bit as we move into this next key. And this is a key for every week. No turnovers. You turn it over Sunday, you're going to lose. Point blank, you cannot give extra possessions to this Dallas Cowboys offense. Point blank. I'll even take it a step further because we were talking about this. Not only can you not turn it over, you got to win the coin toss. You have to win the coin toss Sunday because guess what? You need the opportunity to be able to get the football on consecutive possessions if you play your cards right at the end of the half and then getting it coming out of the locker room. And if you remember last year, that was the formula for this team. It felt like we won a damn coin toss every week, and we were so good in those end-of-half, two-minute situations that we were consistently able to double up, whether it was 10 points, whether it was 14 points, whether it was 6 points. You were able to score on two consecutive possessions because of your ability to win that coin toss. Sunday, it becomes even more important. Got to have it again. And then more importantly, you cannot turn the football over. I'm telling you, you turn it over Sunday, you won't win. Want your calls on keys to victory as well at 301-230-0980. What do the Commanders have to do to win this football game? My third and final key is this. Win the time of possession battle. Last year, the Washington Commanders were 7th in the National Football League in time of possession. Through 6 weeks, they are 25th in the National Football League in time of possession. It's not sustainable. They will not make the playoffs with this recipe. Get it together Sunday in Dallas. We talk about their hurry-up offense all the time. I'm running hurry-up for a different reason this weekend. I want to bleed the play clock. I'm not snapping it till it's 3 or 4 seconds on the clock. And my play call may be in by 22 seconds. I may be lined up by 17 seconds. But I'm not snapping the ball till it's 3 or 4 seconds up on the play clock. Funny story here. My uncle, I played for Magruder High School in Montgomery County. We were terrible. My uncle used to tell me, man, y'all coach, y'all shouldn't snap the ball till 1 second left on the play clock because y'all can't stop nobody. Damn it, he was right. Dan Quinn, Cliff, JD5, listen to my Uncle Steven. Don't snap the football. Don't snap the football till it's 2 and 3 seconds on the clock. You got to do whatever you can to win this time of possession battle. I want your calls, though, at 301-230-0980. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. I see a couple of tweets coming in. I'm actually not going to read these because they're irrelevant to the current topic. But, Ant, before we get out to the calls, your main key to victory, number one key to victory for you.
I think... I don't want to steal what you just said.
I kind of gave away the sauce. I know.
You stole everything. But I definitely think the offense not turning the ball over
is
of the utmost importance.
I agree.
Just because we can't afford it. Like, we're already limited offensively, and giving this offense more than one stab at it against our defense, who, you know, can be hot and cold, isn't the best idea. So,
yeah. I totally agree. 301-230-0980. Enough of us blabbling. We'll get to your calls. Anthony wants to chime in. Anthony, your keys to victory, or your number one key to victory. What must Washington do to walk away with a victory?
What up, now? This is Tony Murray.
It's Tony. What's going on, Tony?
What's up, man? I'm sitting out here in sunny L.A.
I'm about to say, man, I hope you bring the weather back with you. It's getting cold out these parts, man.
Yo, it's beautiful, man. I'm sitting out here looking at the pool. So, twofold.
I'm about to say, hold on, Tony. Can you just be quiet for a second? I think I hear the water in the background.
You do. You probably do.
What you got for us, though, man?
So, one, the biggest loss is going to be – bigger loss will be Debo. And this transition to a key to victory.
Mm-hmm.
I think Joe Witt has to get kind of exotic on defense. If Dorrance Armstrong is out, you may have to go with three on that line and bring in some of these young linebackers for help set the edge and to get a pass rush. You might have to go a little faster, look a little 3-4 scheme-ish.
Mm.
Not completely changed from what you're used to, but you're going to have to get creative on defense and get pressure, because Dak has looked good this year. And if CD's coming back, you're going to have to get pressure on him, force him into making mistakes so that we can win the turnover battle, so that we can force them to kick field goals on third down. So, you know, that's going to be my biggest key. Because offensively, like I think Anthony said it, without Debo, now you're looking at Jaden trying to do too much, trying to be the superhero. And then that puts him in danger of injury and making mistakes, and that's not what we want on our young stud.
Tony, you made a good point, and someone segued me into it earlier, man. Enjoy the game out there, brother, and we'll see you soon, man. If Dorrance can't go, do you put Frankie Louvu at edge full-time and play Jordan McGee next to Bobby Wagner? Is that the solution? That's probably where I would go with it.
I think we would definitely see a little bit more of Frankie rushing the passer. Just because that's the role they played him last year when we had to, you know, get after the quarterback. So, and I would love to see Jordan McGee out there.
Honestly, and I love DA. I almost want to see him put the hamstring on ice just so I can see Jordan McGee. We're all thirsty to see him. 301-230-0980 is the number. Your keys to victory. What must Washington do to pick up the victory Sunday in Dallas? Real quick here before we get back out to the calls. We talked about, you know, different ways to manufacture pressure. Washington blitzing at the 11th highest rate in the National Football League right now against Dallas, potentially without Dorrance Armstrong. That number has got to go up. 301-230-0980 is the number. Your calls on keys to victory next. Coming up in about 10 minutes, our pal Marcus Mosher going to join the program as we go behind enemy lines, getting you warmed up for Cowboys and Commanders coming up Sunday. From Big D, must-win game for the Burgundy and Gold. Don't want to fall under 500 here in the second week of October. How do they avoid falling under 500? That's what we want to hear from you at 301-230-0980. Your keys to victory. The number one thing Washington must do to ensure a victory Sunday on the road in Big D. Let's go back out to the phones. Terrell and B-more wants to chime in. What's going on, Terrell?
Hey, what's happening, man?
What's happening, Friday, bro? Happy Friday to you, brother.
Man, I initially called – thank you, man. I initially called to say Debo would be the one that we would miss more, because he's the multi-tool that, you know, we don't have another option for him on offense. If he's gone, no one can replace what he does. But if we see the option that he provided last week on Monday, then I don't even know if he's worth it. But – and I was hoping that maybe by committee – we can get a pass rush, you know, but y'all started talking about Von Miller and we talking Preston Smith. So I don't know if I'm really curious about, I mean, if I'm really confident in that committee. But I think the key to the game, honestly, when I'm looking at Pickens and CeeDee Lamb coming back and their tight end, I think our DBs need to be stellar.
Yeah.
I think if they don't show up, that we'll miss that more than anything, because Dak has been throwing it all over the place and been lights out. So if our DBs, if Amos and Sandra Steele and Lattimore aren't stellar and Reeves and Quan Martin playing out of this world, it might be a 40-plus point game and we can't do anything. So that's what I think is the biggest key to the game. If they can be on point and slowing down their options with Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, then we got a shot.
I totally agree with you, man. I appreciate the call as always. I think Terrell hits right on the head. I mean, these DBs, boy, we'll see how many DBs end up making it in the Super Six Pack. Top six commanders are putting under the microscope. But, I mean, the DBs, here's what I will say about the DBs. The last 2 weeks in particular, talking about out west against L.A., taking on the Chargers, and then Monday Night Football against the Bears, I thought the DBs were actually pretty good. I did not have a problem with the way that they played, but we do know this, right? This is football 101. Pass rush, rushing coverage go hand in hand, man. Rushing coverage go hand in hand. If the Commanders can get a pass rush on Dak Prescott, we have a much better shot of being able to slow down this Cowboys passing attack. But if they don't get a pass rush, I genuinely don't know how we win. Honestly. I'll even take it a step further. If they don't get a pass rush, I don't know how we get a single stop in the football game. It would have to be self-inflicted wounds from Dallas, in my opinion. It's not a defense right now. It's not a defense right now, talk about Washington, that really has any margin for error. And if you give Dak Prescott all day to throw, I mean, you know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. Everyone knows what's going to happen. So, without Dorrance Armstrong potentially being in the fold here, we were talking about it on the other side of the break. Do you put Frankie Louvu as the permanent edge rusher? I'm also excited. I don't want to say I'm excited because I don't want to see Dorrance not play. But what does Von Miller look like in a non-limited role? What does Von Miller look like when he's playing a high volume of snaps? Because to me, and I think me and Ant kind of disagree on this, I'm not too thrilled with the impact he's had on this pass rush. I think the 3.5 sacks are totally bogus. I think a sack and a half of those were literally layups. He had a sack against the Raiders where he won on a long arm. That tackle that they were playing was the worst tackle I've ever seen in my life. Literally the worst guy ever. So, like, Von ain't been worth a damn at this point. I do not trust. Now, I love me some Jacob Martin. Yeah, I know that. I've been touting Jacob Martin ever since training camp. I have confidence in him getting after the quarterback. But, like, in terms of Von Miller, no, I don't. Does it because you're going to have Eddie Goldman back, do you start Duron and Eddie, play Kinlaw at end, and supplement your loss of DA that way? They're going to have to get creative in terms of how they fill the void of Dorrance Armstrong if he can't go.
I mean, you can go five down linemen.
Go five down front as well, yeah.
Like, there are definitely ways to go about it. And then also with Louvu playing DN, edge, like, you can play around with, like, what you want to do with him. Like, whether or not you want to drop him. Like, I don't know.
Your sim pressures hit a little different when it's Frankie Louvu dropping into the
zone. Yeah, it is.
Dropping into the zone. So, that'll be interesting to see, man. 301-230-0980 is the number. Let's go out to, what's up, Anthony? What's going on, brother, man? How you doing?
I'm good, so I'm going to call a spade.
Uh-oh. You know, the last, like, four or five times you've hopped on the line, you started off with, I'm going to call a spade. So go ahead. How you going to call a spade today, brother?
You know you ain't tackling nothing with them knock knees.
Hey, look, you always keep me on my toes, brother, man. And I'll say this. My folks, Anthony, you could probably, Haney, you could probably attest to this as well. You know I'm pigeon-toed, right? I'm probably the only slow pigeon-toed person.
Wow.
Pigeon-toed people are supposed to be fast. You know that. Anthony, you a damn trip, man.
Look, this is the scenario that we do not want. We up by two or we up by three, and Dallas got the ball last. There's two things you can guarantee about our defense. If we score, the next series that the opposing team won't score. If we absolutely positively need a stop to win the game,
yeah,
7 out of 10 times, we're going to give it up. So if we ahead by less than a touchdown and Dallas get the ball last, if they only need a field goal, it's a wrap because you know they're going to get past midfield.
Yeah.
And that kicker, you might as well call him Super Toe.
Man.
Because
he's a real weapon.
He damn near good from 70 yards. So if they need a field goal to win, it's a wrap. But if we can be ahead by at least a touchdown before the end of the game and they got the ball last, we got a chance. But anything 3 points or less and they get the ball last,
that's curtains.
It's a wrap.
I feel it. Anthony, appreciate you as always, brother. Enjoy your weekend, man. 301-230-0980 is the number. Mark is in Largo, wants to chime in. Mark, you see they try to make you famous, brother, man. You see you made it on the Team 980's account, brother.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, thanks, man. You're on the account. That. They got you all over social media.
I feel you, bro. Hey, look.
Yes, sir.
Love your show, man.
Appreciate
love everything
you.
About it. So, look, the best case scenario for this defense, I'm going to keep it real with you. They're playing Dak Prescott. They need to blitz like crazy and sack him 5 or 6 times. And here's the reason why I say that. This is a picture-perfect defense for this team. When they go up against quarterbacks that are just strictly pocket passer quarterbacks, they're very, very successful.
Yes.
Because they know they got to shut them down. They got to blitz to them. That's what they were able to do against Jared Goff in that playoff game. They were able to blitz him and get to him and shut him down. That's why he was throwing so many interceptions. Same thing you got to do with Dak. You got to hit him. They have a better chance against him because God knows if you keep putting them down, keep putting them down. We do not want to see Joe Milton.
No.
If Joe Milton come in there, it's a wrap. We ain't stopping him.
Yeah.
He'll knock everybody else down when he runs. So we ain't stopping him. But if we sack him about 4 or 5 times and get him to turn the ball over and do some other things, we should be fine. And here's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels is undefeated inside a dome.
Wow.
He's undefeated good on nugget. Good turf.
That's a good nugget.
And so this is the turf. Next week is going to be a different story. We got to talk about that when we get that next week.
Yeah.
But this is a game that's made for Jaden. This game is made for Jaden. We got to win this game. And I think we will.
They need to, Mark, because you know what I said. If they lose Sunday, it's going to be hard for me to pick them ever again. 301-230-0980 is the number. We've had a couple of different people talk about this, and it wasn't even one of our keys for real. Getting after Dak. You got to. But here's the thing. Ant brought up a 5-man front. Love that idea. If Deron Payne and Javon Kinlaw can just whip ass on the interior, they're going up against a rookie in Tyler Booker. He's a rookie. Brock Hoffman is terrible at center. He's the replacement for Cooper Beebe. Washington actually has the advantage on the interior, in my opinion, at the center spot at least. Because I think the Tyler bros, talking about Tyler Smith, Tyler Booker, in 2 years, you remember I said this, they'll be talked about as the best guard tandem in the NFL. I don't think it's much of a debate. They're athletic, they're big, they're physical, they're nasty. So that's kind of how I see that going. But, yeah, I think interior pressure is, in terms of Dak, it's probably the best way to get after him is getting pressure up the middle. He's not the tallest quarterback in the world. So if you can impact the line of vision for him, that could be huge. But I keep going back to, even if Dorrance does play, I think he plays maybe a limited capacity is too strong of a word. I don't think he plays his full volume of snaps. How are they going to manufacture pass rush? Because outside of Dorrance Armstrong, like the other guys on this D-line have not impacted the quarterback enough. And I know Dorrance has got the sack numbers, but like down in, down out, this Commanders pass rush is not as impactful as it should be. It's just not. The other key that we hadn't talked about really, you got to make Dallas one-dimensional. And Javonte Williams is a physical, bruising back that's going to try to run your ass over. But with Kevontae Turpin coming back to the lineup, knowing the way that Chicago was able to get on the edge, Are you going to be prepared for the 6 or 7 gadgets with him trying to get on the perimeter? That's what I worry about, is him getting on the perimeter, him getting behind this defense. Because I think Brian Schottenheimer is calling good games here. I think he's a good coach. But just like other OCs around the league, he gets cute sometimes. That could be your Achilles heel, but I don't know what caller brought it up earlier. How much of an onus, how much pressure are you putting on Dan Quinn and Joe Whitford this week? You know this system. It's the same system they were running while you all were there. Shoddy's the same coordinator. He was the offensive coordinator under Mike McCarthy. It's the same offense.
It wasn't Kellen?
No. Shoddy's been the OC. Kellen went from Dallas to Philly.
Yeah, I thought they were there because they've been here for 2 years.
They've been, when they were last in Dallas, I'm pretty sure Shoddy was the OC.
Oh.
I'm like, I'll look it up. I'm like 99% sure. How long has Brian, I can't type quick enough. But you pick up what I'm putting down. I asked that question because it's like, you know, from a X's and O's standpoint, or excuse me, from a personnel standpoint, you don't have the horses to go tit for tat with Dallas. Is there a schematic advantage that can be created by your familiarity with their offensive scheme? It wasn't last year because Cooper Rush walked that mother lover up and down the field on us.
Yeah, he spanked us.
Literally. Jake Ferguson.
They moved the ball.
Easily, bro. Yeah. But that's because they were able to run it. They ran the ball on us.
Yeah.
And that first game at home blew me young. Because we needed that joint. Was that the last game of the losing streak?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I put a fork in them. that was the last game of the losing streak. Yeah, then they played Tennessee right after. And then you know how the rest of the season went. But I wonder, we know that we don't have the personnel to match up with Dallas. Is there a schematic advantage that Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn can create? Because that's definitely going to be needed. Daryl is in Columbia wanting to chime in. What's going on, Daryl?
Hey, Linnell, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Great show.
Appreciate
Great show. Yeah, hey, man, it's one answer. They need to blitz. Yeah. Not only blitz the pass, but blitz the run. And when you blitz 75% of the time, they need to put about 7 guys on their line of scrimmage, and Dak doesn't know who's coming. Some of them are backing up. Some of them are coming. So you just play a guessing game, but you got to take your chances, man. And as far as the back end, the defensive back, I would put Sanders Thrill back out on the outside. I would put Lattimore in Quan Martin's position and put Savage at the other safety with Amos. And I have Quan Martin as the fifth defensive back. And as far as on offense, we got to run the ball, and they need to start running Bill out of the I formation. An I formation will give him better vision, you know, like Cal Shanahan does.
Saying give him a lead blocker.
Absolutely. And, you know, because right now he's always running out of the shotgun. And, you know, I mean, it really limits what you can do, you know. But if they're in an I formation, they could do play action. You know, there's so many things that they can do. But if I was the team, man, I'm telling you, I would blitz. I would have so many different schemes, schematic schemes. They need to take notes from the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings.
Coach Flores, hey. And you know what I love about Coach Flores, man? Everybody know he's going to blitz, too. He still does it.
Yeah, so, they know it. And he's like, stop me.
Yeah.
Can you stop me?
I dig it as always.
That's what we got to do, man.
Yeah.
I live by the blitz. I die by the blitz. Because that, you know, because right now we're shorthanded, man.
Yeah.
Our offense, we got to control the ball. We got to keep that offense off the field. So, you know, we don't need to go into no hurry up. We need to run that ball, man, pound that ball, and get physical with Dallas, man. Dallas is softies, man, if you get physical with them. I saw them against Carolina.
And that's the other thing. And I know I'm a little bit nervous about Sunday, but they did just lose to Carolina, y'all. So it'll be interesting to see if Washington can handle it. We'll wrap up the calls with this before we go behind enemy lines with Marcus Mosher. Kevin is in Virginia. Kevin, your key to victory, the number one thing Washington must do to pick up the dub on Sunday in Big D.
Yeah, thanks. They have to establish the run.
Yeah.
They didn't do it against Chicago. It needs to look like the Chargers game. They got to get Bill out on the outside and get some yards. It keeps the offense, the Dallas off the field. it opens up the passing lanes for Jaden. I think that's the key to win. I also want to say something, a hot take, that's going to drive you crazy.
Uh-oh, what you got? What you got?
Extending Terry McLaurin was a mistake.
Oh, Lord.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, I know. I know.
He's on his downside screen. I love him. I love him.
Kevin, I remember the day that he showed up to the facility and you called me on that Sunday. And you were pretty adamant about it.
Well, I love him, but he's 30. He's got injuries. He might not get to back where he was before. And we're gonna see if that contract's gonna age.
Yeah.
And it would have been brave, you know, for them not to extend him. They would have taken a hit on it. But they could have kept him one more year and see what happened. But now they're committed to him for 3 more years or whatever the case is, and a lot of money. And they won't be getting the return that they expect. So,
yeah,
that's my hot take.
Hey, I appreciate you as always, Kevin. Enjoy the game. Enjoy your weekend, man. 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Let's go behind enemy lines. Let's find out the latest on the Dallas Cowboys from our pal Marcus Mosher of the Locked On Cowboys podcast. He joins us next on the Team 980. Welcome back. It's the Team 980. We're always live and free on the always free Odyssey app. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham, riding with you till 7 o'clock here on this Friday edition of the Burgundy and Gold Today. Right now, we go out to the guest hotline for the first time this show as we go behind enemy lines to get the latest on what's going on in Big D. We're joined by our pal Marcus Mosher, who is the host of the Locked On Cowboys podcast. You can check that out wherever you download your podcast, as well as on YouTube as well, and give our pal Marcus a follow on the X app at Marcus_Mosher. Marcus, what's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, it's an NFC East matchup in Week 7. The game feels pretty important. Yeah. It should be fun.
I want to start with what you guys got going on right now. What's going on with the Trayvon Diggs situation? Now, full disclosure, being a DMV guy through and through, me and Trayvon have several mutual friends, is what I would say. So I am very curious to get your thoughts on just his time in Dallas to this point, and then the latest situation that is causing him to miss Sunday against Washington.
So the latest news out of Dallas is he showed up to practice this morning, or showed up to the facility, had a concussion from an accident that happened at his house. We've got no other details about the situation. He's been ruled out. And while we don't think it's anything super serious or, you know, anything fishy going on, it's just another one of these situations for Trayvon Diggs where he's turned into the "it's always something" guy. Like, you have one of these friends, you know, everybody does, where they always have an excuse. There's always some kind of story. And unfortunately, that's Trayvon Diggs now. It wasn't the case the first couple of years in his career. He was fantastic for Dallas, earned this big contract, was an all-pro player, but the last couple of years have been anything but that.
Yeah, I think it's well put on your behalf. Just looking at, you know, it segues us perfectly, just looking at this Dallas defense as a whole, everyone knows the numbers near the bottom of the league in pretty much every major statistical category. How much has the defensive backs position kind of aided the struggles of the Cowboys here to this point?
I mean, a lot. They're just, the whole defense is bad. There's not one unit that you could point to and say it's better or worse than another. And part of me thinks that this Trayvon Diggs injury doesn't really hurt them because they've been so bad anyways on defense. So maybe getting somebody that's a little bit younger in there that can maybe tackle will help. But it's the secondary has been a major issue. Now, Washington has got some injuries at receiver. Obviously, Terry McLaurin's not playing. Noah Brown's not playing. You guys obviously know all this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a great situation for Dallas either, just because there's going to be a lot of guys out there on the field that they don't trust at all. And that's been a problem through the first 6 games of the season.
Yeah, I definitely can echo those sentiments. Washington has a similar situation on their defense. We'll get to the Commanders' defense coming up here in a second. But it's strange, man, because to your point, like, it has not gone well for Dallas this year. I know Matt Eberflus, a super respected defensive mind throughout the National Football League. When you guys get the chance to talk to him during the week, what has he had to say about the struggles that Dallas has had defensively?
I mean, it's kind of the same old, same old. He's, you know, he's talking about execution and communication and coach speak, right? Yeah. And none of these answers are making Cowboy fans feel any better. No. They want to see more man coverage. He refuses to do it. And honestly, I think this is a bad week to do that anyways because of Jane Daniels and his running ability. Yeah. But I think the Cowboys are just searching for answers. And you see that as the games are going on because they're throwing out five different linebackers on the field and rotating defensive linemen at an absurd rate.
Wow.
Because they just don't know what to do. They've run out of possible solutions. They're kind of just throwing things against the wall to see what sticks. That's a bad spot to be in when you're going into week seven.
I totally agree with you. I want to focus in on that front seven a little bit more. You guys had one of my draft crushes talking about BC Edge, Donovan Ezeraku. But I want to start on the interior. The impact of Kenny Clark, and then how have you how has the team looked with those two guys playing together, talking about Kenny Clark and then Oso Digizuwa, who I'm a huge fan of. He game-wrecked in both of the games against Washington last year.
So the first few weeks, it was really good. Those two guys were controlling the line of scrimmage. It was allowing the Cowboys to stop the run better than expected. But over the last couple of weeks, I think you're starting to see them getting worn down a little bit. They've had to play a ton of snaps because the Cowboys' defense can't get off the field. And I thought Kenny Clark on Sunday against the Panthers was arguably their worst defender on the field outside of Kenneth Murray. Now, listen, that's a one-off thing. It's not a trend yet. But they need Kenny Clark and Osa Digizua to play better. And honestly, that's their only chance of stopping Washington in this game is getting some inside pressure, forcing Jaden Daniels to get either rid of the ball quickly or get outside of the pocket. It's going to have to be the Cowboys' defensive line. You mentioned Donovan Ezeraku. He's starting to put it together as a pass rusher. He's still a little bit of a liability as a run defender, but if there's any spot on this Cowboys defense that could have success on Sunday, it's their defensive line.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because Washington's offensive line coming off of a performance, Marcus, on Monday night against Chicago, that they kind of want to flush down the toilet. It's not who they've been throughout the entirety of the year. We all know how well they've ranked statistically in terms of running the football. Coming into Sunday, second-best rushing attack in the NFL, but it was not. It didn't look like that on Monday night against the Chicago Bears. And I even go back to last year's matchup against you guys, man. Washington's offense never really got it going with Jaden Daniels under center, man. If you take away in that first meeting, Marcus, that deep shot to Terry McLaurin in the waning moments of the football game, Jaden Daniels had, I believe it may have been under 100 yards passing to that point. So it was a real struggle for them to move the football. And I think Oso Digizuwa was a big part of that. I mean, him winning on the interior consistently against Tyler Biadasz and the other two interior offensive linemen for Washington was a big problem. I think, to your point, he's got a chance to really put his fingerprints on this one. I want to flip to the offensive side of the football for the Cowboys because holy fireworks, Marcus. It has been super-duper fun each and every week. Outside of that Chicago game, they have looked like, you know, the premier offense in the National Football League. Why is that the case through the first 6 weeks here?
Well, I mean, Dak Prescott's playing the best football of his career. He's just in total command of this offense. He feels comfortable with Brian Schottenheimer calling the plays. Shotty's been the offensive coordinator the last couple of years. It's basically an offense that's completely designed around Dak Prescott's strengths and weaknesses, and you're seeing that play out. I mean, they've had a ton of injuries over the first 2 months of the season, whether it's CeeDee Lamb going down in week three or Kevontae Turpin dealing with a foot injury or even someone like Jonathan Mingo, who was going to be the number three receiver. Right. They've had injuries across the offensive line, and it hasn't mattered because Dak is playing so well. Going into week seven, this is the healthiest they're going to be since week one. Tyler Booker, their first-round pick at right guard, he's going to be back in the lineup. CeeDee Lamb is going to be – he's off the injury report. He's going to play. And George Pickens is playing the best football of his career. I expect this Cowboys offense to play well on Sunday. We haven't seen Dak against the Dan Quinn defense yet since his days in Atlanta. But this is an offense that should be able to score 28, 30, 35 points here.
If there was one area of concern with this Cowboys offense, Marcus, what would it be for you?
They're a little bit inconsistent still when it comes to running the ball. They did not run it particularly well against Carolina. They kind of got dominated up front in that game. Hmm. And that just makes life a little bit harder on Dak when you have to throw the ball 35, 40 times a game. Not that he can't do it, but I'd like to see the Cowboys be able to run the ball better on first and second down, be able to convert on third and two when you know the defense knows you're going to run the ball. They've got a lot of faith in Javonte Williams, but after him, it's pretty up in the air as to who's going to get carries. Jaden Blue, a fifth-round rookie, has not earned the trust of the coaching staff yet. Hunter Lipke, their fullback, might be getting some touches in this game. Keep an eye on the Cowboys' run game, because if they can run the ball, it might be a long day for Washington.
Yeah, that would be not very good, especially when you consider the way Washington's run defense looked on Monday night against Chicago. How would you describe this Cowboys rushing attack, man? I know against Chicago and against Atlanta, the two games that I think Washington's kind of struggled the most on the ground, it's with these outside zone runs, hitting that C-gap, hitting that D-gap. Where does Dallas want to attack when it comes to their rushing attack?
Yeah, and I think that's where you can get Washington, and unfortunately, that's not really Dallas. Under Clayton Adams, their new offensive coordinator, they are a downhill physical run game where they want to have, you know, dual blocks. They want to double team the defensive tackles and get downhill. Javonte Williams is a very physical runner. Mm-hmm. I would not call him a speedster or a burner or anything like that. But maybe in this game, we'll see more tosses to the edges and letting Tyler Booker and Tyler Smith get to the outside. I think you're going to see a combination of both types of runs. But keep an eye out on Kevontae Turpin. The Cowboys have kind of been talking all week about Washington's lack of speed on defense. And there's a certain player that they're going to be targeting in the middle of the field, and they want to get Bobby Wagner running sideline to sideline. So don't be surprised if they have a lot of these jet sweeps and quick tosses to try to expose Washington's lack of speed.
Yeah, I think it would be a smart game plan if you've watched the Burgundy and Gold over the first 6 weeks of this thing. Tell me a little bit about center Brock Hoffman, man. I know they were really bummed when Cooper Beebe went on IR. How has he played in relief, and how would you describe how he complements the interior of that Dallas O-line?
Yeah, so Cooper Beebe, their center right now, he's on the injured reserve list with a high ankle sprain. He's a big guy that's a great athlete, whereas Brock Hoffman's barely 300 pounds. He's a terrible athlete. But honestly, it kind of works because he's so physical and he's mean and nasty. And when he's in the game, he's not the player that Cooper Beebe is. But when he's in the game, honestly, the Cowboys offensive line usually works a little better because you need somebody that has that edge.
Yeah.
And he has started a bunch of games at right guard and center and left guard for Dallas over the years. I kind of like the edge that he brings to this unit. I don't think this is a weakness for Dallas at all. He's one of the better backup centers in the league, and they certainly don't have to alter their game plan at all when he's in the lineup.
How important is this matchup for Dallas coming into this thing, man? When you take a look at the landscape of not just the NFC East, but the NFC as a whole, Dallas right in the thick of this thing, along with Washington. What would a win mean for Dallas moving forward, and how would that kind of shift the conversation there in Big D?
Well, there's no such thing as a must-win Week 7 game, right? But this is pretty darn close to the Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
If you win this game, you get back to 500. You're only one loss behind the Eagles, maybe none, depending on what happens with them in Minnesota this week. And you're right into this thing as we get into Halloween. But if you lose this game, you drop to 2-4-1, and you look back at the schedule, and the only quarterbacks that you beat were Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty hard to be optimistic about their future. And maybe the Cowboys start considering themselves sellers at the deadline. Again, this is really a swing game for Dallas. I think you could talk yourself into a lot of different scenarios depending on whether they win or lose this one.
It's going to be a big one, my friend. Do you have a prediction on your way out, Marcus?
Yeah, I think Washington gets a close win. I think we're talking about a 35-31 type of game. I just don't see how Dallas is going to slow down this run game, how they're going to get any pressure on Jaden Daniels. I expect fireworks, but I do expect Washington to take care of business.
It should be a good one, man. 4:25 p.m. Eastern time from Dallas, Commanders and Cowboys locking horns for a big one. Marcus, we appreciate you making some time for us, my friend.
Anytime.
That is Marcus Mosher of the Locked On Cowboys podcast. Give him a follow on the X app at Marcus_Mosher. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, a lot more to get to. We just went behind enemy lines on the other side of the break. We'll get you our Monday morning headline. What are the papers going to read Monday morning after the Cowboys and Commanders lock horns? That is next on the Team 980. One final segment to go before we hand things over to BetMGM tonight. Get you an official prediction for Commanders and Cowboys coming up here. Appreciate all of you that called into the program here this afternoon. Big thank you to our pal Marcus Mosher. Big thank you to super producer Anthony Haney, who's actually ducked out on us real quick because he's got a flight to catch. The youngest in charge, Toby Altizer, joining the program the rest of the way. Toby, interested to hear your official prediction. Because you're over here and I want to show off my astute knowledge to you because you're one of my faves, I'll run through my keys to victory real quick for you before I get you the official prediction. For the offense, this is for the offense and for the defense. For the offense, touchdowns over field goals. Commanders tied for 12th in red zone touchdowns when they enter the red zone. And then field goals over touchdowns for the defense. The Commanders actually rank 11th in the NFL in forcing teams into field goal attempts once they enter the red zone. I don't think it's any surprise that this defense plays its best in the high red zone because they're old and slow and there's less ground to cover. So if you can let Dallas abuse you in between the 20s all you want, that doesn't really matter. If you're able to buckle down when they get into the red zone and force them into field goals over touchdowns, I think you will be A-OK. No turnovers for this offense, and I think if you're Jaden Daniels, I need an A-plus performance from you. I can't have a performance like Monday night, clearly. I also can't have a performance like the season opener against the Giants. I need him at his absolute best coming up on Sunday. If he's not, they probably won't have much of a shot. The final key is win the time of possession battle. Last year, the Commanders were 7th in time of possession. This year, they're 25th through 6 weeks of the season. Ball control going to be huge. I even brought up this nugget. I understand you want to run hurry up. Toby, I played for a terrible – I hope my – well, my coach shouldn't be listening right now. He should be in the middle of a football game right now because it is Friday night here in the DMV. I played on a terrible high school football team, and my uncle told me, you know what, Linnell? If I was y'all, y'all so damn bad on defense, y'all should try to shorten the game. Why don't y'all just wait until 2 seconds on the play clock and snap it? That's what Washington should do on Sunday. They should. You can go hurry up all you want. Identify your defense. Send people in motion. I'm not snapping it till it's 2 or 3 seconds up on the play clock. Do whatever you can to win the time of possession and to keep that high-octane Cowboys offense on the sideline. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, this one could be interesting because everyone seems to, when everyone is pointing at one thing, it doesn't always go that way, right? So everyone's thinking this is going to be a shootout. Defenses aren't going to be able to stop anybody. Would it surprise you at all if somehow, because of the way the sun shines in the Jerry World at the the late part of the game or something,
I hate
they're
that,
just not able to get going? Yeah, it's so stupid. A dome that has a natural, I don't get it. But regardless, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to see. And we were talking about this in a break in the bullpen a little bit earlier. With the defense, I'd just be blitzing and see what happens.
Blitz, Bama, blitz!
Just see what happens. Like, I'm just bringing the house.
Yeah.
And if they beat me, they beat me. I know I don't have people to hold up if I only bring four, so I might as well just bring the extra guys that can't cover anyways.
Honestly, I'll ask you the question that I asked you over across the hall earlier. We were chewing on this earlier in the program. Debo Samuel listed as questionable. Dorrance listed as questionable. DA's been a DNP all week. Who's the bigger loss for DC if they can't go on Sunday?
Debo, and it's just because of the fact that they just don't have other weapons on offense that are dynamic. And I think they have guys that could be there. Like, is this a chance if Debo doesn't play that Jalen Lane gets a big-time opportunity and catches four balls and goes for 80 yards and makes a couple guys miss, and we're talking about him on Monday? Is this an opportunity for Luke McCaffrey to even expand his role a little bit more? Maybe, but those are big ifs. Not to say that there are tons of guys behind Dorrance Armstrong that you feel good about.
Now, that's my whole thing.
But there are other guys that, like, I've seen at least do it in the league before. Like, Von Miller is on the last leg of his career, but I've seen him do it before. Could someone else maybe step up in that sort of role? Maybe. But Debo, if you don't have that, Zach Ertz plays in a bigger role, and he's supposed to be the security blanket. He's not supposed to be the featured guy.
And he's got a calf, so we'll see how ready and available he is.
Exactly.
And that's something that popped up today. He hadn't been listed with a calf at all week long. It had just been the shoulder. I get where you're coming from. I just think I like the depth pieces at receiver more than I like at the end, is how I would put that. Because I do believe – can't believe I'm saying this. I do believe in Luke McCaffrey. I really believe in Jalen Lane. He's got the best physical tools in terms of the ability to get up the sideline, the ability to stretch defenses vertically. The double move last week was sick. He needs more of those opportunities. I think the big key that we're not talking about, maybe Washington doesn't throw it around the yard a bunch. Maybe they just line up and punch Dallas in the face. I think that's probably the way you should go. Milk some clock, control time of possession. Last weekend, Carolina had their way on the ground against the Dallas Cowboys, and their run defense all year long has just simply not been very good. We'll see if Washington is able to exploit that weakness. Here's the reason why I worry. If you go back to last year in that game against Dallas, both of the games, Osa Odighizuwa dominated on the interior. Whipped Biotish's ass, whipped Cosme's ass, whipped Allegardi's ass. In that first meeting, if Jayden Daniels didn't hit the deep shot to Terry, he was under 100 yards passing. So I have my real doubts and concerns about this offense's ability to just go into Dallas and put up points. I don't care what the stats say. It's an NFC East game. Divisional tilts are always difficult. Just ask the Steelers and the Bengals last night. By the way, I think that result was just a byproduct of Thursday Night Football, Thursday Night Footballing. We've seen that in the past 2 weeks. Real quick, 1 minute left to go. My official prediction, I have no business picking the Commanders based off of what they showed you on Monday night. But the one thing I can say about this group, whenever they've gotten punched in their mouth this year, they have responded with a swing back. I think they respond in Dallas this weekend. Give me Washington 45-42. I think it is that type of shootout. I think it's that type of game.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's going to be no defense.
I'm going to zag because everyone's thinking it's going to be so high scoring. I think there's still going to be points scored. Give me 27-24, Washington.
That's going to do it, though, here for this Friday edition of the Burgundy and Gold Today. If you're looking for a place to watch the game, join myself and Denton Day out at Honor Brewing in Sterling for Burgundy and Gold Game Day. See you Monday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.